Warning, the following podcast may contain spoilers. It may also contain content too frightening for people with a weak disposition. If you're too frightened to carry on, we suggest that you go and listen to some soothing music, light a candle and hide underneath a blanket. If you're ready to carry on, follow us into a world of 100 horrors.
You are listening to...
Welcome to 100 Horrors, the podcast that is trying to find the best 100 horror films of all time. This is episode 96, which deals with the 1922 F.W. Murnau directed Nosferatu.
What's it about?
Nosferatu. Who knows Feratu?
Who knows Feratu? It's about a vampire.
Go on.
Okay. Synopsis.
A rip-off of Dracula.
Wow, I don't be throwing that around.
Look at his face.
Estate age... Oh, I need to put my light on. It's very dark in here. Estate agent Hutter goes to Transylvania after being contacted by the mysterious Count Orlok about a potential sale of a house directly opposite his own. Hutter becomes increasingly suspicious that the Count may be a Nosferatu, or German for vampire. He gets bitten and becomes trapped in Orlok's castle. Orlok takes this opportunity to sail to Wiseborg, his town, so that he can move in on Hutter's best girl, Ellen. Scare factor.
Brilliant.
The Scare Factor.
Should mention special guest. So nice we had him on twice. Mr. Joe Ford is back!
I love you all.
How has life changed since last week, Dad?
It has been riveting.
Now, we record episodes directly after each other, so he's going to pretend what he did this week. So you have to tell us what you're planning on doing. What you're planning on doing this week?
Well, this week...
Number one.
I have so much to do. I've got to win the lottery.
Yeah.
I've got shopping to do for the in-laws. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that. And then after that, I've got to beep. Preparing, because I'm going to, in a few weeks' time, send some surprise to these lads at the 100 Horrors. I have something that they will see, and it's not what you think, that they will see going round the world.
Ooh.
I'll leave it at that.
A corpse.
Yes, been busy and looking forward to... going through another fantastic evening with you chaps.
Very good, very good. So, as discussed prior, we watched Nosferatu from 1922, 101 years old.
We didn't watch it back in 1922.
Yeah. I did.
Would anyone like a stab at the tagline?
Again, what's this all about? Who knows, Feratu?
Who knows, Feratu? It's not that.
Nosferapu. Question mark. Nosferapu?
Don't know, but it was sponsored by Dentine, wasn't it?
There's a Dracula moved opposite.
Yes.
A Dracula. I like it. What did you go as for Halloween? A Dracula.
Nosferatu drinks the blood of the young, the blood necessary to his own existence.
Good.
I just realised I didn't do a Day of the Triffids taglines.
People don't care now. It's too late. They've Googled it in wake of yours. Right, so, okay, budget.
The Triffids are coming. The Triffids are going. The Triffids are killing. There you go.
Budget unknown.
You can listen to it as well, actually.
The budget was unknown. They didn't actually have, records of budgets in them days. It's very hard to tell. But we do know what the box office was for this film. Would anyone like a stab at the box office translated into US dollars instead of Deutschmarks?
What, at the time, or?
Yes.
$20.
20 bob. 20 bob, six
go, and that was a lot of money back then.
I'd go £20,000.
£700,000.
$19,057.
Hey!
Bang on there. Well done, well done. All right, so we're going to get into a scare factor. The way the scare factor works is we all give our rating of the film. Guests do not contribute their final score to our final score in case you get a madman on giving something a 5, then knock it down to a 3 after some peer pressure.
Which is me.
Dad, what are you going to score Nosferatu out of 10?
I'm going to give this 8.
Ooh, wow. An 8. I think recently deceased Rob is going to give it a low score, given that he's just gone, oh, wow, with an 8.
Yeah, I think it's unscorable. I have no opinion on this film at all.
No opinion?
No opinion.
No.
But you got to give it something.
You got to give it. Well, then, if that's the case, if it's unscorable, you'd have to give it a 5 to keep it in the middle of the road, surely. Because other way, you're adding emotion into it. We'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Putrid Paul.
6.
Fair enough.
My.
7. Yeah. Ooh, love this film. Absolutely love this film.
I'm going to give it...
Really? Is he a vampire, Rob?
I'm going to go 4.
All right. Ooh, okay. Ooh. All right, fair enough. Why... we'll go with guest first. Why... what did you give it? An 8?
I give it an 8.
Why an 8?
Well, it's 100 years old, as you said already. 101 year old. Mm-hmm. And within probably 5 minutes of watching it, it dawned on me that this is a film that didn't need sound. They hadn't discovered, I don't think they discovered it then, and it was a silent movie.
Sound didn't exist back then.
It was invented until 1945.
Everyone was deaf.
Yeah. The bomb went off.
And it just felt right, having no sound from the actors speaking. I mean, give you an example. The early part when Hutter goes in and takes the flowers for his missus.
Oh, brilliant scene.
And he leans through the door and he's got that big smile on his face. Works brilliantly. Now, if you put sound on that, he'd have been leaning in, big smile on his face, going, and it wouldn't work.
We should overdub it.
Yeah.
And also, that's one of my favourite scenes as well, because he thinks he's given his wife a lovely gift, and she says, these beautiful flowers, why have you killed them? And it sets the tone for the rest of the film, I think, that scene. What you think is going to be wonderful turns out to be terrible. I love that.
Yeah, it was just, as I say, I enjoyed it. No sound. That is to say, no speech going through because it was silent.
Yeah, silence.
The characters in it, Knock, estate agent. No, it's Knock. If you watch Hello, it's a Knock first.
Oh,
right, okay. So I'm calling him Knock. He was, what a character in that, when he was getting Hutter to go out, he had looks on his face that were evil.
Incredibly expressive, isn't he?
Yeah, very psychotic.
I wrote down the note that he gave. So just for background for people who've chosen not to watch this 101-year-old film, Knock is the man who owns the estate agent. Hutter's one of his estate agents. And he's sending Hutter off to Transylvania to sell the house opposite his own to Count Orlok. So he signs off on it by saying to Hutter, off, my friend, to the land of thieves and phantoms.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, yeah. See you later. And off he goes.
Yeah.
Fine with it.
It's like Middlesbrough.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I just loved it. Everything about it. But I think that was the big thing for me. It didn't need speech from the characters. It was spot on. Lots of things in there. Say Hutter was a bit of a weirdo. That coach, when Hutter was in Transylvania or whatever, and Orlok's coach came up dressed in covered in drapes, and the horses had... That was a bit weird, but it added to the film.
This isn't normal. What, you mean where it was cranked too fast? Is that what you mean?
No. You know when he's the coach that's taking him from the inn up to the castle says, we're not going any further.
Yeah.
This is as far as
we can. We won't go any closer to the castle.
They throw his bag to him and he wanders off. And then Orlok, his coach comes along and he's driving the coach. And the coach is covered in... black sheets, drapes, whatever you're going to call it. The horses are covered as well, so you can't see the horses. What a good thing that was. In the middle of it, just knew or drew you into the fact that something's not right here.
Yeah.
And it sort of made you want to watch more to see what is going to happen. If you think about it as well, 100 years ago when that was made, people had probably not been to cinema. This might be their first film. And they're looking in awe at it, thinking,
Christ,
Yeah. And then they see the horror that they've never seen before. In Orlok, they've probably seen pictures in the newspaper, drawings, whatever, or read the book, but to see that monster on the screen, terrifying.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Yeah. Played by a man called Max Schreck, Orlok, and Schreck is German for terror. That's his real
Max
name.
Schreck, isn't Max Schreck in...
Yes, Tim Burton loves
Batman
this film. Yeah, so named the character Max Schreck.
Wasn't there another film made about the making of this film.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. Is,
the making of Nosferatu.
Shadow, is it Shadow of the Vampire?
Yes,
with Johnny Depp.
No.
No, it's what's he called? Oh, scary guy from Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
I can't think of his name.
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe plays Max Schreck.
That's right. Yeah.
But he's a real vampire in it. And yeah. The rumor is that Max Schreck was a real vampire. He's not. He's an actor.
Got an alias as well, isn't it? There was a rumor that he didn't exist.
Max Schreck. Yeah, there was a rumor that he didn't exist.
That's a good film as well. That one. But yeah, this for me was just spot on. Really good.
You give it a 4. Why a 4?
I really wanted to like this film, and I just didn't. I just found it extremely hard to watch.
Because it's silent. Is it the format or is it the film itself?
I don't know. I thought, oh, this is going to be really creepy and good, but it's just the amount of stuff in it that could be cut out is ridiculous.
Very flabby. That's what stops.
There's so much stuff in it where it's like even reading the, not the title cards, but what are they called, like the speech cards or whatever.
Yeah, title cards, yeah.
Yeah, the title cards, it's like, right, I've read that. Another 30 seconds.
Yeah. People read slow, yeah, but people weren't massively literate in them days. Well, that's the other thing. Got time to read it. The Vampire Awakens.
So I was watching this on YouTube. I had to keep skipping forward because it was taking so long.
Also, I'll tell you what makes it long. 5-act film. Because it breaks it into different acts. More cinemas in 3 acts.
That's one of my points. Why do they keep announcing the acts? Is that just the thing?
It was just the done thing. Because it was like plays. That didn't really have a reference point at this stage.
I think because it was a silent film, it made it a bit creepier. It was extremely flabby, like I said, and it just was way too long. There's just bits where it's like, why are you filming this? It's just pointless, not adding anything to the film. I found it funny that the werewolf is just a hyena.
Yeah.
I imagine that a lot of people haven't seen hyenas.
Well, that's it. An innkeeper at one point says, don't go out at night. The werewolf is roaming, and it cuts to just a stripy hyena running around the forest.
Cross that off my notes.
There's more of a story than I expected. So I've seen this film, but it was about 15 years ago because I was at college. I can't remember what I thought then, but I don't know. And the day and night thing was confusing because obviously they can't film at night. So then it's like, oh, you can't go out in sunlight. So he's casting shadows all over the shop.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it just suddenly ends. He just disappears because the sunrise hits him. He's just been in a lot of daylight.
Version has a blue wash over it, so you can tell when the nighttime is. But it's still very confusing watching the black and white, which I think is the prettier version. I think it looks nicer that way.
I think Max Schreck plays a really good character in Nosferatu, and he's really creepy, but he's just... It's like 3 shots of him and that's it. And it's, I don't know.
He's only in it for 9 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like, I'm waiting for it the whole way through. And I'm disappointed by it, to be honest. Because I really wanted to like it. I just thought it was a bit rubbish.
Paolo!
Well, considering I felt like it was in arcades or amusements for an hour and 20. No, the love organ.
Oh, hey.
It was the first silent movie I've ever seen.
Was it?
Yeah, and I was really intrigued by it. I thought it was really good.
Jen, don't bother with that on your TV. Smash the speakers on that. We're not listening to any films from here on out.
He was really scary. He was really scary. What do you call him?
Max Schreck.
Max,
him, yeah.
Orlok.
Schreck it.
Really, really scary. Very creepy. There was a lot of creepy scenes in it, I thought.
What really annoys me about Nosferatu as well is that he looks creepy apart from his 2 goofy teeth.
Yeah, the creepiest bit.
And everybody seemed to have massive eyebrows. They just didn't look after their eyebrows. That was the first thing I've got on my notes. There was a bit which made me laugh, actually. It was where he was carrying his coffin.
Through the street.
Around like he was going to his new gaff.
Yeah. It was like the Benny Hill thing
as
well. Yeah. And I'll admit, I watched this on 1.5 speed as well.
I did.
And it even felt too long with that.
Let me sum this up. Just a little thingy. A charming film that I don't think I can criticise too much because it told the story well.
Are these your notes for Basket Case?
And without the tools that modern filmmakers now have, it still creeped me out a little. As my first silent movie, I found it intriguing and surprisingly engaging. Thank you.
Paul, aged 12.
He's the one that went to school, aren't you?
Thanks for writing it.
I love this film. It's a 7, but because it is so flabby, if it wasn't, then it'd be a lot higher score. I think this is probably one of the I don't want to get too technical about the whole thing, but some of the best mise-en-scene you'll ever see in cinema. Come on now.
Right, what does that mean?
I can't remember. I remember doing this in media, and I remember someone saying that while I was watching it.
Did you see it with a French accent make it even worse?
Mise-en-scene. Probably Paddy. It might have been Paddy.
Essentially, it translates to what's in the frame, but it's like the shot construction, the composition, the set, the costume, like everything coming together to create the overall tone of the film.
Well, that man dressed like Humpty Dumpty was good mise-en-scene.
No, he wasn't. But the shots of like so Murnau all the way through. There's like, if you go back and watch it, there's shots where there's loads of framing within framing, and Orlok is quite frequently seen within frames that are like coffin shaped.
So
help anchor the horror themes of the whole thing. I thought that was very, very good.
I think,
but composition wise, there's some absolutely dazzling shots throughout this whole thing. The bit where Ellen is sat on the beach and there's graves all around her and she's staring out to the sea thinking about Hutter. That's brilliant. The bit where Orlok wakes up and is totally rigid and just goes from a lying down position to a standing position without bending his back, putting his arms down or anything like that. Absolutely fantastic.
Mm. Yeah.
Mise-en-scene!
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Also, it's interesting from a historical perspective as well. I'm very blessed in that for a lot of years I got to teach film studies, so we get to look at the historical
films,
which was lovely, and we got to look at the historical connections to it all, and there's lots of references to the Spanish flu and the pandemic that just gone through there. So what had happened was when the Spanish flu kicked off in 1919,
COVID,
it's
a hoax.
Yeah.
Didn't exist.
Well, there was actually as well with Spanish flu, there was actually vaccine deniers as well in that as well.
So typical.
History repeating itself. But so the soldiers had obviously been fighting and then they'd all contracted Spanish flu and then were bringing it back when they were coming back after the war. They were bringing it around with them. So ships were literally bringing death with them. And there was a rumor that rats were bringing the Spanish flu with them and they can't quite work out what was going on. So the film could be a big metaphor for that. But also there's loads of anti-Semitism.
Is there?
Loads of it. Loads of anti-Semitism throughout it. I'll go back to that tagline. Pay attention, Paul.
Okay.
Nosferatu drinks the blood of the young, the blood necessary for his own existence. Where have you heard that before?
Babel.
Don't know, I've never read the Bible.
Neither have I.
Mein Kampf.
I believe you were a big proponent that Hillary Clinton was drinking the blood of children to keep herself young. Did you or did you not believe in that?
I do.
Didn't work. Did not work, did it?
So what's that got to do?
Yeah, she looks old then.
So what's that got to do with that?
So the whole QAnon thing comes from an ancient Jewish myth that Jews, spread by anti-Semites, that Jews would drink blood of babies to keep themselves young. So it all comes from that, and that's where the QAnon conspiracy comes from as well. It's all tied into what's called a blood libel, which is the idea that Jewish people would drink blood to keep themselves young. And it pushed on anti-Semitism. You think about Orlok, look at Orlok. He's a Jewish caricature. So he's like this big, lanky guy with a massive nose, big, bushy eyebrows, going around trying to drink blood of young people. Nock as well, who becomes is it Renfield in Dracula?
Renfield, yeah.
So he plays Renfield. He as well is a Jewish caricature of this like money-grabbing, like hunched over, big nose, hook nose, like mad-haired Jew caricature. So there's loads of anti-Semitism throughout the film. And the thing is that after the First World War, this is getting very heavy now. After the First World War, a lot of Germans blamed Jews for it, for the loss of the war, and thought that there was a Jewish conspiracy to make them lose the war. So it captures the spirit of the time of like anti-Semitism that builds into the Second World War. And I think knowing that makes the film more impressive to me, just because it's so interesting to look into all that stuff. But as a film, it works as well. I think just it's brilliant. And there's a really funny bit as well where Hutter reads a book about vampires and doesn't believe it, so he just launches it across the room.
Yeah,
disrespectful.
That's why I give it a 7.
Let's move on because I'd like to make jokes and I'm not allowed.
Trivia.
So. Oh.
True or false, this film establishes the trope that vampires are killed by the sun.
False.
False.
True.
Ah, oh, press the wrong button.
True! Oh, true!
Yeah, I know about that.
It was true. Yeah, it does. It's the first film that attaches the idea of vampires dying via sunlight. Even in Dracula, the source material, he doesn't die via sunlight. So,
does he not?
No. But it does say that he can't go in sunlight, though, doesn't it?
He can't go in it. It doesn't say that he dies.
Wow, well, that's rubbish fact.
So, well, they changed it. They changed it, actually, in Nosferatu to avoid being sued by Florence Stoker. Because they wanted to change the character. That's why he's not called Dracula as well.
I know another fact.
Come on,
about
Paul,
that.
Your hands up, son.
I know
son.
Another fact yeah. about that.
You at the back.
Can I just say as go well, on. Dracula, or whatever, is not meant to
appear. Dracula.
Not, is not meant to appear in its reflection in the mirror, is that right?
Go on. Yeah.
He does in this film.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
cheers,
yeah.
Cheers.
Don't say your fact.
All right.
This is probably some trivia.
Cheers, cheers.
True or false?
True. Sorry.
Play it like that, it's fine. You won't get any points. Yeah, what are you going to do when you go home, Jen? How many points did you get, Paul? None.
We've all learned a lesson. We've all learned a lesson. I'll have a think.
True or false, Prana Films, the production company that made this, went out of business because Florence Stoker sued the life out of them.
False.
True.
False.
False.
Very good. Why is it false then?
Because they claimed bankruptcy as soon as they finished to avoid being sued.
Do you know why they claimed bankruptcy? You can't just say I'm bankrupt.
Because they ripped it off.
Because what?
What? Why they
what said drove them to be bankrupt?
Plague.
No money.
Some Jewish guy had drank all the blood in the cup. No. So what had happened was when they made this film, we don't know how much it cost to make it, but the marketing for this film was astronomical, so they pumped all the money into marketing and bust themselves. So they just went bust as a result of trying to promote the film too much. But also, it's partially true because Florence Stoker did get wind of this film and sued them because it's too close to Dracula. So she, part of the lawsuit was that every single copy of this had to be destroyed. So we only see smuggled copies that were smuggled into the USA. That's how we managed to see it today, because she had all the ones in Germany and England destroyed. And apparently all the way to her death, she died in like 1937. If someone ever was like, oh, they're playing Nosferatu down there, she'd go down to the cinemas and be like, burn it. And she'd stand there while they burnt the thingy. The greedy cow, as if she doesn't have enough money from
exactly.
her husband's work.
Yeah. Typical woman.
Courtney Love, isn't it?
Oh, she's talented though, isn't she?
Yoko Ono.
Yeah, she's really talented, Yoko Ono.
She can knit
with
nice
her pipes on her.
Yeah. True or false, banned in Sweden until 1972.
False.
True for copyright reasons.
True, I was going to say it.
True.
It was true, but I can't remember why. True or false?
You're scared of vampires.
The film... no, hang on. Charlie! It's too dark in here. Oh, here we go. I think I'm saying this right. Kashti Castle. Was home to the one that Orlok, you see it all in ruins at the end of the film, was home to an actual serial killer. True or false?
True.
I'll go true, because if you own a castle, you can get away with it in those days,
yeah,
couldn't you?
It's true, yeah.
True, Ted Bundy.
True.
A very famous serial killer. Maybe the first serial
Vlad
killer.
Vlad the Impaler.
Not far off.
Genghis Khan.
Too far, too late, too early.
Attila the Hun.
Far too early.
Jesus
lady,
Christ.
Lady serial killer.
Oh, Elizabeth Bathory.
Elizabeth Bathory. She lived there, yeah. So that's her castle. Rumoured to have murdered girls and bathed in the blood to keep herself young.
Was she...
potentially more anti-Semitic.
Was she Jewish?
I don't know if she was. No. She was Hungarian, wasn't she?
She was, yeah.
So it's a joke, there was obviously. Quite a lot of...
There's a Countess Dracula film, isn't
there?
Oh, no. A letter on my doorstep. You're fired. You are fired. It's like Blade Runner. Was it Blade Runner?
No, it's
Fifth Element.
No, you are fired. what was I going to say? Yeah, last one. A new virus. Hang on. Before we do this, there's no fun fact, sad fact this week, because I've taken Brian McCarthy's fun fact, sad fact and turned it into Brian's trivia. New virus. Porphyria B is causing vampire traits in victims and currently infects around 1,500 South Americans. True or false?
true.
False. Sells, I think it's more.
I think it's true. South America.
South America? Well, I.
Well, yeah, they're all
false, but I can't make my joke.
What was your joke? Just bleep it.
It'll be
Well, it could be. There's billions of them. All sorts of diseases could be there. fun fact. No, sorry. It was false.
Oh.
Play the false thing.
Sorry, South America.
Nah, cheers, Brian. You need to start sending us jingles, mate. You're going to have to write your own jingles here while you're doing all the work for our podcast. So it's false, but the vampire myth itself was based on a blood disease called porphyria. Some forms of this disease cause sufferers to be sensitive to light and leads to disfigurement of the skin, including erosion of the lips, giving you more protruding teeth and gums, as well as an intolerance to foods that have high sulfuric content, such as garlic. And that might be where the vampire myth came from.
Ooh.
There's your true.
Let me
false.
Ask you a question.
Go on.
I watched it on YouTube, like I think you guys did. There was two versions on there. One was 8 minutes longer than the other.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Any ideas what extra bits were in there? Or?
No.
I didn't watch it.
I watched the longer version.
I just picked the shorter one because I didn't want, I wanted them 8 minutes.
It'll be the best bits you would have given it a 10 if you'd have seen it.
Yeah.
They probably cut out all the cards, didn't they?
It was the car chase in the middle, wasn't it? I don't want to die.
Yeah.
I won't die like that.
Bitten by a vampire.
Yeah.
Did anyone die?
I don't think anybody did. She did at the end.
Orlok dies.
She did at the end and Orlok.
It's burnt up by the sun, which must be terrible.
So is that what we're going with?
Yeah.
What, the sun one?
A vampire that gets burnt up by the sun.
All right, I've got one.
What would you say to them at a funeral?
Told him wear sunscreen.
Bingo! Who said that? Mr. David Mills got in touch to say the pale so-and-so should have used factor 50 like I told him to.
He had a sunny disposition.
I think that's a bingo. Oh, I can't find
sunny
where.
Boy. The pipes.
Well, Orlok in his coffin with all those rats. He was one of the rat pack.
Did he use Vicks vapor rub when he had a cold?
Good.
It is.
He was a dirty man.
Here comes the sun. Da, da, da.
Ashes to ashes.
Let's have a look. I can't think of anything.
Pile of shit.
Hang on, let's
Is he dead? Orlok?
Dear me.
All right, here we go.
One.
Instagram user who follows one person, and it's us, but has no posts and no followers, LO2021X, said, I wouldn't have missed his funeral for the world. He turned it a mist at the end, didn't he?
Yeah.
Both George, thanks for the contribution, first time.
Faded away at the end.
Yeah. Both George and Callum Langford got in touch to say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Mm-hmm.
Horror Community News said, I gave him fake sunblock for April Fools. Another one bites the dust. Miss Claire Trippett got in touch to say his time in the sun was up by all accounts. Miss Jess Austin, right, we need to talk about this. Jess Austin gets in touch with us every week and is just a quiet cheerleader in the background of this podcast, but never contributes. After like 95 episodes, she's finally managed to contribute. Thank you, Jess, and thank you, her husband, Mr. Austin, a.k.a. Storm
Cold.
Thank you. Yep. Said the sun will be out tomorrow. Unfortunately, our friend Orlok won't be.
nice one.
Is he coming out?
Mr. Matt Topping
wouldn't
said,
have this problem if he lived in England.
No, he wouldn't. Mr. Matt Topping got in touch to say he was never one to throw shade. He was too bright for this world. And Mr. Daryl French has put an absolute shift in this week.
For once.
Never said, oh. And I said, thanks for coming. Noz, as his friends called him, had such a bright future ahead of him. His light was snuffed out too early. He was a bloody good lad who would always put his neck out for anyone, whatever the stakes were. We put a spread on at the back with garlic bread and Sunny Delight in his honour. Thans, Daryl.
That's just, that just goes to show that quantity isn't always better over quality, isn't it?
Final scores.
5.6, which puts it joint 24th with Prince of Darkness and Dead Snow.
Fair enough. Imagine putting us right with dead snow together. Jesus, what is this podcast even doing?
Yeah, I really wanted it like this. I just didn't.
I thought it was very good.
But, big thanks to Joe for coming back on.
You are welcome, gentlemen. Anytime you want me, just send a check.
And first.
And when he next comes on, it'll be season two. Imagine that.
We'll have to find the oldest horror film, the very first horror film.
I think this was it, wasn't it?
No, there's another one. Caligari.
Is there another one?
Another one before that. It's like the Devil's House or something.
Just
that one there. That's it.
Right.
That's a film.
We'll bring you back on for season two. You get to bring your own film in season two. Any thoughts about what you want to bring with us?
Ooh.
The full VHS of Atmosphere, the board game.
Beta Max. Yeah. I'll sort a classic out. A classic in my opinion, that
nice
is.
One.
Yeah, Laurel and Hardy's Ghost House.
I was going to say it.
Haunted House.
Dad's Army Halloween edition.
Hello,
October.
I think you've got the wrong impression of me, chaps.
Well, thanks for coming on. If you enjoyed this episode, please do follow us at 100 Horrors on all social medias. You can contribute your What Would You Say at the Funerals as well. Really does help us out. If you can give us a 5-star rating, then please do. It only goes up to 5 stars. Don't bother with none of that 4 and below stuff on Spotify because it doesn't help us. And please do leave us some reviews on Apple Podcasts as well. Why not on Amazon too? Just spend your evening, your spare time doing that for us. Do join us next week when we will be discussing...
Nightbreed.
Okay, Nightbreed. We're nearly there, folks. Bye!
Bye! Doodaloo!
This has been 100 Horrors. Thank you for listening.